The video is a few years old. Everything you saw in the video continues. Some of it has expanded quite a bit. Last year, the Grace Bible Baptist Church in the year 2017 gave the equivalence of $30,000 to missions. 75% of the money that comes into that church, they give away to see the gospel get spread in parts of Kenya and other parts of Africa. And it's because of the giving of those people that has allowed that church to do a lot of things that maybe wouldn't be normal for a church in Africa to do, but is right for a church all over the world to do as they learn God's principles in God's Word. We've expanded the Bible college a bit, tried to start, besides our main Bible college, start satellite branches in different parts of Kenya, in some of the churches that have been established to help meet the need in those areas that people cannot, where people cannot travel into the main Bible college. We've also started a deaf division in the Bible college. We have around 8 to 10 deaf students that attend every time the college meets. We're hoping and praying that God would call one of those young men into the ministry so that he can begin reaching his culture, that deaf culture. There's a lot of deaf in Kenya. Have a deaf school near us in Nakuru, primary school and secondary school. And when they finish school, a lot of the deaf stay in that area because that's the area that they know. So we have a lot of deaf in our area. We have deaf that attend all of our services. We have, I don't know, probably around 10 of our church members now that are very fluent in the sign language. And we're looking forward to expanding that as we go forward. A lot of things going on. A lot of things that need to be done. We just want to be busy about what the Lord would allow us to do until He calls us home or until He comes back again. And I hope and pray that God would allow our family and all of our Kenyans that are trained in the ministry to continue serving Him. And this church is very much part of that, and we thank you so much for that. Please stop by the table in the back and receive a prayer card and look at what we have back there. I'll be happy to try to answer any questions that you might have concerning anything you saw on the video or anything concerning missions or the work in Africa. Now, this evening, I'd like you to open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter number 45. Genesis, chapter number 45. Do bring greetings from my wife. She's in Cleveland this evening with my daughter. We just got back from a six-week road trip just the other day. And then on Thursday, my wife and I are flying to Puerto Rico to do a wedding for one of our young ladies that grew up in our church in Kenya that's in a Bible college in Puerto Rico. She's marrying a Kenyan young man that's been called in the ministry in that college. And so we have the opportunity to go and do that wedding next week. And so I allowed her to stay behind and get a little bit of rest and catch her breath. But she does send her greetings. Genesis chapter number 45. In a moment, we'll begin reading in verse number 9. We're going to read a story in the life of Joseph. What a story Joseph is. From the time he was born until the time he died, really even after he died, when you read in Genesis, there, that little verse, that little phrase when children of Israel are finally leaving Egypt, and that little phrase where it says, and they took with them the bones of Moses, or Joseph, just like he had asked them and promised them to do. What a story the story of Joseph is. You know, Hollywood has nothing on the Word of God. The Word of God actually is true. It's not make-believe. And some of the stories that we read in the Old Testament and the New Testament are wonderful examples to us. But I want to take this one story, one event in the life of Joseph, and let us see this evening a tremendous parallel to the time that we live today, to the responsibility that God has given to the New Testament church. In Genesis chapter number 45, we're going to begin reading in verse number 9. I'd ask you to stand this evening for the reading of God's Word. We'll read down to the end of the chapter, and after I finish reading and pray, then you may be seated. The Bible says, haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph. God hath made me Lord of all Egypt, come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household, and all that thou hast, come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, in the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Say unto thy brethren, This do ye, lay your beasts and go, get you into the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, This do ye, take your wagons out of the land of Egypt, and your little ones, and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. To all them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with the corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, See that ye fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt, and came into the land of Canaan, unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. When he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this evening, Lord, for this church. Lord, we know that this church has been busy about your work in the vineyard, both in their community and, Lord, in this country and all over the world. And we thank you for that. But Father, we know that the job and responsibility of your church is not yet finished. And I pray as we examine this scripture this evening, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, you would show us some things, remind us of some things this evening. Lord, may we leave this place better servants for you than when we came. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. And thank you. You can be seated. Here in this story, we read something that happened in the life of Joseph's brothers that changed them. When Joseph's brothers went to Egypt looking for food, and then trouble befell them because of the judgment of Joseph, and they didn't know what was going to happen, but Joseph now has his brothers together, and Joseph reveals himself to his brothers in verse number 3. We did not read that verse, but Joseph says to his brothers, I am Joseph. And when Joseph's brothers realized who Joseph was, everything changed for those brothers. Something happened to them that kind of parallels what happens to you and I when we get saved. See, before we got saved, our life was completely different than it is after salvation. But the moment we realize who Jesus Christ was, the moment we realize that He was our Savior, the moment we realize what He had done for us on the cross of Calvary, and we accepted His precious gift, the moment that happened in our life, everything changed. We were never the same again. When Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, everything changed for them. Life was now completely different. I want you to notice with me this evening, first of all, the condition that we find the brothers in this story. the condition of the brothers. Something has radically changed in the lives of Joseph's brothers, and it resembles what happens to us at the moment of our salvation. See, in an instant, the lives of both Joseph's brothers had gone from being in tremendous jeopardy to being brothers of royalty and favored guests. Isn't that kind of what happened to us in salvation? In a moment, it happened to us. In a moment, it all changed. We were no longer a child of Satan. We are now an heir of God. Our salvation is a freely offered gift that we accept. And when we accept that, our condition changes. The life of Joseph's brothers changed when they received the good news that Joseph was alive. Well, what exactly changed in the life of Joseph's brothers? Well, we see in this story that their position changed. Before Joseph revealed himself, they were subject to slavery and to death. Joseph, as judge, had sentenced Benjamin to death. But as soon as Joseph told them who he was, as soon as he spoke to them in their language, they were transformed from death to wonderful life. Do you remember that day it happened to you? Do you remember the day that you met Jesus Christ? Do you remember the day that you realized for certain what He had done for you and you accepted that by faith? Do you remember how your position changed? For me, that happened on November 12th, 1976. I was an 11-year-old boy. I was sitting in a revival service of the Cleveland Baptist Church. It was a Friday evening. There's an evangelist preaching that evening by the name of Al Lacey. He preached a message from the book of Acts, but when he gave the title of his message as an 11-year-old boy, the title enthralled me. I had grown up in church. I knew what the Bible said. I knew all the answers to salvation. As a matter of fact, people thought I was saved. I told people I was saved. It didn't take me long to figure out when I was a young boy that when somebody got saved, everybody was happy. I wanted people to be happy. So I told people I was saved. And they were. They were happy. They congratulated me. It was a good thing for me to pretend, but I really wasn't saved. That evangelist gave the title of his message, and the title of his message was "The Man Who Missed Heaven by 12 Inches." I thought of that for a moment. And like I said, I knew the way to heaven. I knew all the answers. And I thought, wait a minute. That's not possible. How can a man die and he's on his way up to heaven and he gets 12 inches from heaven and he falls back into hell? What's this guy talking about? So he had my attention. He used his text from the book of Acts about Simon the sorcerer, who had a knowledge in his head of Jesus Christ, a knowledge of salvation. He knew the way, but he had never accepted, had never been transformed from his head to his heart. He talked about the distance from the head to the heart being 12 inches. And as he preached, I knew he was preaching to me. I sat there during that message and think, who told him about me? How does he know that's how I am? Every time he pointed his finger, it didn't matter which direction it was, it seemed like it was pointing right at me. I could not wait for the invitation to be given. When the invitation was given, I ran to my father, who thought I was saved. And I told my father, that's me. It's up in my head, and it's never left. I need to be saved. We went down to that old-fashioned altar, and I knelt with my father, and he took the Word of God, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior by faith. And when I got up off my knees that evening, I had changed. My position had completely changed from the time, from what it was, when I got to church that evening. Well, we find here what changed in the lives of the brothers. Well, their position changed, but not only their position, but we see that their privileges changed. Before Joseph revealed himself, they were strangers, not even part of Pharaoh's kingdom. But at the announcement of Joseph, they became a favored group. When I got saved, I became an heir of God. I became a joint heir with Jesus Christ. What Jesus inherits, listen to me, I inherit. Man, I tell you what a privilege it is to be a child of God And the brothers' lives, I mean, it changed completely. Their position changed. Their privileges changed. But not only that, we see that their prospects changed. Before Joseph revealed himself, their survival was really in doubt. Not just because of his judgment, but because of the famine. It was only an act of desperation that moved Jacob to allow them to take Benjamin to Egypt. Benjamin was a beloved son. Jacob wanted nothing to happen to Benjamin, but he was desperate. There was a great famine going on. People were hungry. There was disease. People were dying. He needed help. And the ruler of Egypt, as far as he knew, wanted to see Benjamin, so he sent Benjamin. But now, when Joseph revealed himself, not only are they going to make it, but they're going to live like kings. None of this was due to their own behavior. All of it was because of the grace and mercy of Joseph. His suffering had allowed for their blessing. And as we remember this story this evening, realize that you and I, we're in the place of the brothers. We're a type of those brothers, and Joseph is a type of Jesus Christ. And when we got saved, it all changed for us. Just as it changed for Joseph's brothers when they realized who Joseph was. Our position changed, our privileges changed, and our prospects changed. But now, after this change has taken place, after these brothers have realized who Joseph is, Joseph has revealed himself. They've now realized that life is going to be completely different for them. Joseph gathers them together as he's speaking with them. He says, now brothers, realize something, understand something. I know things are different for you now, and it's going to be different going forward, but brothers, listen, before you start enjoying the good of the land of Egypt and everything that I have here for you, before you start making your home here and enjoying this, brothers, I've got a job for you to do. I have a responsibility. Brothers, there's something needs to be done. Brothers, I have a commission for you. He said, brothers, back in Canaan where you come from is our father. Our father doesn't know that I'm alive. He doesn't know that for him and the family, the famine's over. A brother's back in Canaan is your wives and your children and your servants. And there's a great famine going on back there, brothers. And brothers, you need to go back there and you need to get my father and you need to get my family, your family, and you need to bring them here to Canaan and you need to let them know that Joseph is alive. So he makes a commission. He gives a commission to those brothers. Kind of reminds me of the commission that God has given to the church. We got saved. God, matter of fact, we're told that there's a home, a mansion being prepared for every one of us right now in heaven. Hey, listen, we've got a lot of great things to look forward to. But after we got saved, listen to me, Jesus Christ has told the church, He has told us, wait a minute, before you come and you enjoy all of these things I have for you here in heaven, I've got a job for you to do. I have a responsibility for you. I have something. I'm giving you a commission. Out there in the world, there's a famine going on. A spiritual famine. And they don't know that Jesus is alive. They don't know that Jesus has died for their sins and provided the way of salvation. So church, I've got a job for you to do. You need to get out there. You need to let them know and bring them home. So Joseph says to his brothers, I've got a commission for you. I've got something that you need to do. And I want you to notice with me this evening a few things about this commission. In verse number 9, we see it says this, haste ye and go up to my father. Joseph says to his brothers, brothers, things have changed for you. I know that, but I've got this commission, something you need to do. You need to go back and tell my father. You need to bring him here. But brothers, when you do this, you need to do it quickly. Brothers, you need not delay. You can't wait. You can't go do something else first. You've got to do it now because there's a famine going on, brothers. And listen, you made that long journey from Canaan down to Egypt. And you've got to make that long journey back to Canaan. And listen, because that famine's going on, bad things happen in a famine. People die. People get sick. So brothers, you need to hurry up. And you need to get back there and share that news with my father. There's no time to lose. There are people all around us today in the world that are dying of a spiritual hunger. And we must get the gospel to them with an urgency. shared with you in the video this evening about grace to the regions beyond and the opportunity we have to take the gospel in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And since we've started that ministry, I'm not sure exactly how many times I've been in the Congo, but it's been well over 60 times. We had just started that church in Uvira in July of 2009. About 6 months had gone by. It was early 2010. I was in Congo. I was preaching on a Sunday morning. It was an exciting time in that church. It was a young church. Everybody that was there had newly been saved. And they were excited about their salvation. The fact that Jesus Christ had saved them from their sin and that they were now on their way to heaven. And I tell you what, they were excited. They were bringing visitors out. The singing, I'm telling you, the singing would raise the roof. An exciting church. Many visitors in the service. I preached on the subject of hell. After the preaching was finished, after the service was over, there's an old gentleman came up to me and said, "Missionary," he said, "I'd like to ask you a question." I didn't know who this man was. I had never seen him before. He was a visitor. I said to the old man, I said, "Sure, give me a few moments as everybody leaves. Let me speak to them before they leave, and then we'll come and we'll sit here on the front bench and I'll speak to you." We sat down on that bench and I said to that old man, I asked him, I said, "Sir, what's your question?" He said, "Missionary, my question is this." He said, "I'd like to know something." He said, "I'd like to know where you have been all of my life." Now, we were going through the Swahili language, and although I got grasped the words that he was saying, I didn't quite understand the meaning behind the words. I thought he was asking me for my testimony. So I began sharing with him where I was born and where I grew up and the church I came from. And he stopped me after a few moments. He said, "Missionary, no." He says, "I'm not asking you where you're born and I'm not asking you where you come from in the United States." He said, "That's not my question." He says, "I want to know where you've been." So again, I understood him as wanting to know about what was going on in Kenya because he knew that we had come from Kenya. So I began sharing with him a bit about what was going on in Kenya and in our life there. And again, he stopped me after a few moments. He said, "Missionary, no, you're just not understanding me." He said, "I'm not asking about your life in Kenya." He said, I want to know where you've been." He said, "See, missionary," he said, "I heard you preach this morning." He said, "And you preached about a place called hell." He said, "And you held a book in your hand. You called it God's word. You said that it was God's love letter to me. And in that book, you talked about that place called hell where people go to when they die, if they die in their sins." He said, "Now, missionary, when you preached," he said, "I could tell you believe what you were preaching." He said, "So, missionary, since you believe what you were preaching, and since you said that the words of that book have come from God," he said, "missionary, I'd like to know, why have I only heard about this today? Why have you not been here sooner to tell me?" He said, "Because, missionary, understand something." He said, "When the war came," we spoke about it briefly in the video, the Great African War, 6 million people have been killed in that war. A war that most people in the world don't know is even still going on today. In August of 1998, the first battle of that war was fought in the town that we were in, Uvira. That old man said to me, "Missionary, when the war came, when the rebels came, they came to my house. When they came to my house, they took my son, my only son. They threw my son on the ground outside the door of our house, and they put a gun to my son's head, and they shot and killed my son." Now, missionary, according to what you preached this morning, according to what you said is in that book that you said comes from God, my son is in that place called hell. And he'll never get out. And he's in pain. And he's in torment. And he's in torture. And I'll never see him again. So, missionary, could you please tell me why? Why have I never heard this before? Where have you been?" He said, "Missionary, last year, my wife died." He said, "Oh, how I loved her. We lived a long life together. She was always there for me. But missionary, according to what you preached today, my wife is in that place called hell right now. Missionary, she's in pain. She's paying for her sins. I'll never see her again. Missionary, she was a good woman. If she would have heard, I think she would have believed. Missionary, would you please tell me why? Where have you been? I should have heard this before now. As this man was speaking to me, I was getting very uncomfortable. As he was speaking to me, in my mind, I'm making all of these excuses, and humanly speaking, they were good excuses. I began thinking, old man, you don't know what you're saying. You don't understand how difficult this place is to come to. Old man, you must understand that even now, those rebel soldiers that you're talking about are still camped in the hillside above this town. You can see their campfires at night and their tents during the day. And in my mind, I'm making these excuses to tell this old man, but as he's pouring his heart out to me, I begin to realize what excuses of human reasoning can give comfort to a man who knows that his family's in hell. And finally, I looked at that old man and I said, sir, I don't know what to tell you. I don't have an answer for you. All I can say is that we're here now. I'm sorry that we weren't here before. God reminded me at that time, as He has so many times in my life, of the urgency that we have to get the gospel to this world. And make no mistake about it this evening, there are people all over the world like that old man. They don't just live in the jungles of Africa. For the truth. They know that there must be more to life. They have an emptiness and a void in their soul that has never been met. And they're looking everywhere and seeking anything to fill it. Maybe they've heard a gospel, but it's been a watered-down gospel. And can I remind you this evening that a watered-down gospel is no gospel at all? And it's our job, Mount Zion Baptist Church, to remember that Jesus Christ has given us a commission, an urgent commission, to make haste to get the job done. Isn't that kind of what Jesus said to the disciples? You know, He stood on that mount and Jesus went to heaven. And before He went to heaven, He said to the disciples, I've got something for you to do. Get about doing it. And after He went to heaven, they stood around gazing up into heaven. And the angels came and said, what are you doing? Why are you gazing up into heaven? And then what did they say? This same Jesus that has gone up to heaven is so coming again in like manner. You know what those angels were saying to those disciples? Listen, you better just get busy doing what He said you better do, and you better start right now. An urgency. Not only do we see the urgency to carry the message, but in verse number 9, we also see this. Joseph instructed them. He said, when you go to my father, make sure you tell my father, thus saith Joseph. Brothers, when you get to my father, listen, make sure my father knows that the story, what you're telling him, are the words of Joseph. Listen, when we go to the world, that's exactly what we're supposed to do. We're not going to the world with our own methods, our own ways, our own human reasoning. We're going to the world with the Word of God. And we need to make sure that when we go to the world, that's exactly what we give. We tell the world, thus saith Jesus. Thus saith the Word of God. There's only one way, not many ways. There's only one sacrifice, not many sacrifices. This is the Word of God. That's the message that we can take. And because it's His message, we can declare it without doubt. And in boldness that we need to. Joseph said, brothers, I've got a job for you to do. You better do it quickly, brothers. Not only do it quickly, brothers, but do it faithfully. Make sure you tell my father. These are the words of Joseph. But then he says in verse number 12, and we won't read it, but he says, then, brothers, share with my father the things that you have seen and the things you have heard. What he's saying to his brothers, after you declare the words of Joseph, then you can share with my father your own testimony. You can share with my father what you have seen and what has happened to you. And I tell you what, when we go out into the world, we may not always have the answers to everybody's problems, but I tell you what we do have. We do have a testimony. And there is a great power in a testimony. And we can go to the world and we can say, listen, you've got some problems, and I don't know about the problems you're going through, but let me tell you about the problems I had. Let me tell you about what Jesus Christ did for me when I met Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what He did for me when He saved me and cleansed me from my sins. Let me tell you about my life after salvation. Let me tell you about the answers to prayer. Let me tell you about how my family is now compared to how it was before. You've got a testimony that you can share, and there's a great power in that testimony. And Joseph said to his brothers, he says, brothers, I got a job for you. I've got a responsibility for you. I have a commission for you. You better do it quickly. Do it urgently. Do it faithfully. Share my words and share your testimony. And then he said to the brothers, we find here now, look in verse number 20. Chapter 45, verse 20. Let me get back there. It says here, also regard not your stuff, for good of all the land of Egypt is yours. Joseph said, brothers, I've got a job for you. Now, brothers, understand, you're going to go there and you need to bring everybody back here. Now, brothers, since you're doing this for me, since you're doing this on my behalf, brothers, you don't need to worry about the provisions for the way. You don't need to worry about the wagons. You don't need to worry about how you're going to carry everybody back. You don't need to worry about the food. You don't need to worry about any of that because, brothers, it's all going to be provided for you. Because you're about my business. You're about the commission that I've given to you. Now, church, understand something. God's given a commission to the church. And in that commission, He's given the promise that He will always provide. Always provide. As long as you don't step outside the will of God in the life of this church, in your own personal life, God will provide. God leads this church into a ministry. You don't know what the future holds, but God will lead you. Your pastor has shared some things with you this evening. You don't know as the Lord directs, but if the Lord directs you to do that, He will provide. He will. Always. Joseph said, it was said to the brothers here, don't worry about the provision for the way. That's a lesson we need to all learn in the Lord's work. We are getting ready to go to Kenya for the first time. We had finished our deputation. It was December of 1997. As a matter of fact, it was 2 days before Christmas, December 23rd. Something happened that day that I will never forget. We had visited Kenya one time with my wife the year before for several weeks just to see how life would be there and what we would need to establish a home and all that type of thing. And it didn't take us long to figure out when we got to Africa that life was going to be a whole lot different than it was here in America. Now, a lot of things have changed in 20-some years in Africa. But I tell you what, 20-some years ago, there wasn't a whole lot of things available there. I quickly saw that life for my wife especially was going to be really difficult. There were not things available that we just take for granted over here. Washing machine, dryer, refrigerator. Who'd want to live without a refrigerator? Stove. You just couldn't go to a store and buy those things. The places that they were available, they were so expensive and so cheaply made that they didn't last very long. And I saw that and I said to my wife, I said to her, listen, you've got a lot on your plate. You've got to school all the children. You'll be involved in the ministry and taking care of the home. I made a commitment to my wife. I told her that when we got back to the States, we would find those things that were needed. And we'd take those things for her so she could set up a home in Kenya. I made that commitment to her. We got back to the U.S., and this was the time before the Internet and Google. So I had to do a lot of research. But I found a place in Chicago, Illinois, that sold appliances that were made specifically for the rugged living of Equatorial Africa. The appliances were 220 electricity, because in Kenya, everything's 220. You can't plug in an American appliance in Kenya, or you will have an explosion. Believe me. So we found this place, and we went to their showroom. And I told my wife, you go and you pick out these appliances, these furnitures that you need for the house, and we'll get them. And we did. Not only that, but this place also was a shipping company, and they shipped containers to Africa. And so I contracted them. We bought a shipping container and paid for the shipping container for them to ship not only those furnitures that we bought from them, but also the rest of our belongings. We left everything there in their warehouse in Chicago, Illinois, finished up our deputation. We are now getting ready to leave. We are leaving the country on December 31st, just 10 days from then. As I was sitting in my parents' home, the phone rang, and it was for me. On the other end of that line was the general manager of that appliance store, that shipping company that we had contracted. He asked for me, and I took the phone, and he said to me, he said, Mr. Mickey, he said, listen, he said, I'm sorry, but I have something to tell you that's not easy to say. He said, but unfortunately, yesterday, we've declared bankruptcy. And according to the bankruptcy laws, he said, because those appliances and furnitures that you bought from us are not yet in your possession, they are in our warehouse, because of the bankruptcy laws, then those things do not technically belong to you. They still belong to us. So I'm sorry. You don't have those things anymore. And that shipping container that you bought and paid for to ship all of your belongings to Africa, I'm sorry, but you don't have that anymore either. Merry Christmas. Goodbye. I sat there for a moment, hoping that I was having a nightmare, but quickly realized that was wishful thinking. And then, to my shame, I said some things to God that I should have never said. I questioned Him in ways that I should have never questioned Him. I wish I had a little bit more maturity at that time, but I didn't. I said, God, what are you doing? God, how could you do this to me? God, don't you understand? I'm leaving my country. I am taking my family to Africa to live. I am doing this. I am sacrificing myself. And this is how you treat me? God, I promised my wife. I promised her these things, and God, how could you do this to me? God, this isn't fair. That was my thought process. As I'm going through these emotions, God began to remind me of a sermon that I had just read just a few days before this in a magazine. I don't remember if it was The Sword of the Lord or some type of magazine like that. And that sermon was out of the book of Genesis, dealing with Abraham and Sarah, when they were questioning God, when God had promised a child that didn't come. And they got all messed up trying to do things their own way, and now they got to the place in their life where, humanly speaking, it was impossible for Sarah to have a son. And God makes a promise again, and Sarah laughs. And then God asks the question to Abraham and Sarah. And he asked this question: is anything too hard for the Lord? And as I'm going through these emotions and having these thoughts, God reminded me of that sermon and what I had read there. And God, the Holy Spirit, then began to convict me. You know what I'm talking about if you've felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that squeeze on your heart. The Holy Spirit began to talk to me in that still small voice through His Word. And He began to say to me, son, I got this under control. Son, you think this took me by surprise? You think I really didn't know this was going to happen? Listen, son, there's a lesson. There's some lessons you've got to learn. He says, listen, there's some things that's going to happen in the future that you've got to be prepared for, and you're not ready for them now. And you've got to learn a lesson. And it's an important lesson, son. You've got to learn that I'm in control. You've got to learn that I'm going to take care of everything, that I'm always going to provide. I'm always going to be there in the darkest times of your life. When you don't have hope, when you don't know how you're going to get out of the situation you're in, you don't know where the provision is going to come from, you've got to learn. You've got to learn it now. I said, okay, God, you're right. I don't understand. I don't know why, but I'm going to trust you. Then I called my wife into the room. And I had to have the most difficult conversation that I ever had with my wife. I had to tell her that we are still going to Africa, but we were going without our things. We were going without our furniture. Really, we were only going with our clothes. She took it a lot better than I did. I don't mean she was happy, but she followed me. You know what we learned? We learned what Joseph said to his brothers. Brothers, I got a job for you to do. And when you're about my business, don't worry about anything else. Don't worry about your stuff. Don't worry about the provision. Don't worry about how I'm going to provide. I will. I'll take care of all of that. You just do what I've asked you to do. And church, that's a lesson that we all got to learn. There's some people here this evening. You might be facing some things in your life you just don't understand. Listen, you don't have to understand. Just trust. God will show you in His time. Brothers, I know a lot of things have changed for you. Now, brothers, before you start enjoying these changes, I've got a job for you. I've got a commission for you. You need to hurry up. You need to get home. You need to get to my father real quick because of that famine. Deliver the message faithfully. Make sure you say, these are the words of Joseph. Share your testimony. Don't worry about how you're going to do it about the provision. I'm going to provide. I'm going to lead. Everything's going to be there for you. And then he said one other thing that I'd like to mention this evening in verse number 24. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, see that you fall not out by the way. Brothers, I got a very important job for you to do, and you need to do it with urgency. But brothers, be careful, because when you're out to do this, and when you're on the way, when you're on the road, getting to where you need to go, be careful that you don't fall out along the way. Brothers, there's some dangers on the road. Be careful. There's a ditch on the left and there's a ditch on the right. Make sure you don't fall in the ditch. Brothers, don't go taking a shortcut that'll lead you to a direction that you ought not to be. Brothers, be careful. See, Joseph knew his brothers. He knew their agendas. He knew their jealousies. He very well knew how they could get caught up with their own desires. And he warned them, brothers, be careful, because you need to get to my father because of the urgency of the task. I want to tell you something this evening. In the Christian life, we're not careful, it'll be easy to fall out along the way. I praise the Lord, this building's full tonight, but preacher, pastor, imagine if those people were here tonight that had fallen out along the way. Just imagine. Imagine what this church could do. Imagine the impact on this community and the impact on the world. But some people, somewhere along the Christian life, it got difficult. Some distraction came, some discouragement came, and they fell out along the way. Listen, we've been in Kenya for over 20 years now, but I want to tell you something. There's been a lot of temptations to fall out along the way. You saw the video tonight and you saw a lot of the blessings, but what you didn't see was all the heartaches. You didn't see the Judases that we've had in the ministry, the Demases. You didn't see those that tried to run us out of the country and destroy the work of God and abuse my wife, abuse my family, my children. Those things happen. Discouragement comes. And sometimes you just get the thought, you know what? Why do I need this? I can go live in America. I can go serve God there. It's easy sometimes to fall out along the way. I'll tell you something. If you fall out along the way, you never accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. I'll tell you what I do when the temptation comes. What I do every once in a while, I go back to that day when God called me. That's what I do. For me, it was December 25th, 1977. Just a year after I was saved. It was Christmas. Now, as a 12-year-old boy, I had not yet learned that it was much more joyful to give than to receive. I was still very much enjoying the receiving part. Now, when we get older, we realize. But as a 12-year-old boy, I was still about receiving, and I had my mind set that Christmas about receiving a new bike. I just had my heart set on a bike. Now, I had laid all the necessary hints for my parents. See, this was back in the day and age of Sears and Roebuck catalogs and J.C. Penney catalogs, where they had a picture of everything they sold. And in that catalog, they had a nice section of bikes. And every once in a while, I'd open those catalogs or the section of bikes, and I would leave it open on the kitchen table. On accident. Accidentally on purpose, knowing my mother would see those pictures. I laid all the hints, and I had myself convinced that I was getting a bike that Christmas. Now, that year was a particularly difficult year in my family's life. My father had sometime that year lost his job as a draftsman and had not been able to find another job. The next year, he got hired on at the church as the deaf pastor, but at that time, that had not happened yet, and it was a bit of a struggle. My parents were doing the best they could. It was Christmas morning. I was the oldest of five children. So I had opened my gift last. My little sister opened her gift. She got a new baby doll. Now, this was the time when these baby dolls started being more than just a baby doll. You know, they started eating and crying and all of those things, all those fancy things. And this was back when that was starting. So she was so happy. She was happy and made all of us happy because she was so happy. I thought, man, look at her. That's how I'm going to be when I get that bike. My other sisters opened up their gift. I don't remember what they got. But my younger brother, I remember he got a brand new soccer ball. I thought, man, soccer ball? I like playing soccer. I was on the soccer team. He is all happy. It was my time. I knew now it was time to get that bike. My parents handed me a small package. I looked at that package and I thought, a bike can't fit in that box. And I thought, wait a minute. See, I put all those hints out there. And there's probably a picture from the catalog of a bike. And that bike's down in the basement. That's what's going on here. So I opened up that small package, and to my dismay, it wasn't a picture of a bike. It was a book. I thought to myself, a book? For Christmas? Listen, just a quarter of a mile from my house sat the Cleveland Public Library, one of the best libraries in the world. Hundreds of thousands of books. I thought to myself, if I wanted to read a book, I can go down to the library. They got every book in the world down there. A book? For Christmas, I wanted a bike. Now, I was smart enough to try to disguise my disappointment, but I'm sure I didn't do a very good job of it as a 12-year-old boy. The title of that book was When You Need a Missionary Story. Now, I knew about missions. I liked missions. I understood missions. It wasn't that I was didn't like missions, but I don't want a book. I want a bike. Later that morning, as it was our custom, my family, we got in the family car and we began making the trip to Pennsylvania, where my grandparents lived, southwest of Pittsburgh. As we got in the car that morning, my mother said to me, she said, "Son, why don't you take that book with you and read it?" Now, I liked reading, and so I said, "Oh, okay," and I took it, and I began reading it. As I began reading that book on that trip, I began reading stories of men and women that were missionaries in years gone by, in all parts of the world. But there was a section in there about missionaries who had gone to Africa. I can't explain it to you except to say, I'll never forget, as I started reading those stories, the Holy Spirit squeezing on my heart. And as I read those stories, as real as I'm standing here before you this evening, I knew that God wanted me to be a missionary in Africa. I sat up in the back seat and I said to my parents, I said, "Mom, Dad, when I grow up, God wants me to be a missionary to Africa." Now I was 12 years old, and during my teenage years, there were times that I thought about doing other things. But every time I did, God reminded me. Every time I did, God would use the scripture or a sermon or something in my life that says, "No, son, that's not what I have for you." Well, fast forward in time, and now I'm in Africa. The temptation comes. Maybe this sacrifice isn't worth it. I mean, even now, it's not the easiest thing to leave my children behind, not see my grandchildren. But when that temptation comes, you know what I do? I take that book. I have that book here this evening. This is that book that I received when I was 12 years old for Christmas. And Pastor Starr, every once in a while, I just open this book. And I just read it. And the very first story in this book is entitled, "A Little Boy Who Listened to God." The story of David Livingstone. And I read this book. And I get reminded again of God, from God, that this life isn't about Robert Mickey. And it's not about my comforts. It's not about my desires. It's about Him. And church, can I tell you this morning, this evening, God's given us all a book. It's right here. Open it up. Read it. Get reminded of what Jesus Christ did for you. Be reminded of the life that He has for you, what He wants you to accomplish. And be reminded that, listen, don't fall out along the way. Stay on the road until God takes you home or until Jesus comes. What a wonderful example this story of Joseph is to you and to me in the life that God has given to us. Joseph's brothers' lives were changed completely when they knew who Joseph was. Just like our lives changed completely when we realized what Jesus Christ did for us. But after their lives changed, Joseph gave them a job to do. He gave them a responsibility and a commission. And Jesus Christ has given you a responsibility and me. He's given us a commission. Joseph said, "Brothers, do it quickly. Don't wait, don't delay." And that's exactly what Jesus Christ says to us. Don't wait. There is no more convenient time than today to serve the Lord. Joseph said, "Brothers, do it faithfully. Make sure my father knows." These are the words of Joseph. Let's be faithful to this book. Let's be faithful to give the words of Jesus and only the words of Jesus to the world. Joseph said, "Brothers, give your testimony. Share it. Let my father know what happened to you. Let's share our testimony to anybody and everybody that we can." Joseph said, "Brothers, everything will be provided. You just do the job. The provision will be there." That's what God tells us, church. Just do it. I'll provide. And then he gave that stern warning. Be careful that you don't fall out along the way. Church, let's be careful. Let's be careful that we don't fall out along the way. Let's continue on that path till Jesus comes.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you. Oh,